This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Okay, we try that one. See how it is now. You should be able to hear me, okay? Yeah. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah. Any confirmation if it's working or not? Testing 1 2 1 2 3. Testing 1 2 1 2 3. Bismillah walhamdulillah. Yeah, everything's good. Working now? It seems very crackly to me when I'm hearing it back on here. It's possibly just that cable in the back there. The other side maybe. Take it out, put it back in. Because it seems very, very crackly. Okay. It still seems very crackly to me, but I think that's... Let's see. Oh. It still seems very, very crackly to me and very, very hard to hear, but I don't think there's much that we can really do about it. The only one thing we could try is switch that audio off. Okay, we think this is working now, insha'Allah wa ta'ala. These are the difficulties of, this is the difficulty of live classes. Sometimes things go wrong in the middle of being live, which is always difficult. But we say something which we're going to relate to our class. What do we say if something is difficult and it doesn't go the way that you want? Who can tell me? Okay, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Not quite. Good, girls got it right. Qaddarallahu wama sha'a fa'al. Qaddarallahu wama sha'a fa'al. That's what we say. I know, as I understand, the audio is buzzing. I don't have a good solution for it, honestly. I think we just have to put up with the audio which is buzzing, because I don't have anything or any really good alternative for that. It's just decided not to work for it. So it happens sometimes. قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. It is Allah's decree and Allah does whatever He wants. It's Allah's decree and Allah does whatever He wants. So sometimes things go wrong that you didn't expect, and you have to say قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. It was Allah's decree and Allah did what He wants. There is one thing that I just want to make a small change before we start any further, because I realize that we can do something that might just fix temporarily. It might just help temporarily. We can do something on here. Okay, Yusuf, I didn't know this has a good option for us, so just give us this here. Let's see, is that still just the same as, is that just still the same shaky, scratchy audio as before, or has it improved? Looks the same scratchy audio as it was before. Doesn't look any better than it was. But we tried. We tried, and it didn't work. Okay, anyway, we tried our best, and I think the scratching noise is still going, but we tried what we could. Okay, so we're still talking about the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. We're still talking about Allah's names. Still talking about Allah's names. And I want you guys to tell me a name of Allah that indicates that Allah is one. I want a name of Allah, and all of you know it, so it's easy question for you. I want you to give me a name of Allah that tells you that Allah is one. The girls give an answer. Let's see, boys, have you got an answer? Noor. Okay, Allah, very good. But I want the name that means one. No, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim is the most merciful, the bestower of mercy. What do you think? No, illallah is not a name of Allah. Allah's names don't start like that, illallah. That's not a name of Allah. The girls got it right. They said Al-Ahad and Al-Wahid. The girls, they said Al-Ahad. Mubin, is something funny? Okay, good. Don't talk. Al-Ahad and Al-Wahid, because it looks like the two of you are talking. Al-Ahad and Al-Wahid. Al-Ahad and Al-Wahid. These are two names of Allah that tell us that Allah is one. What makes, or what is it? Let me try a different way of asking the question. Allah tells us, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. Say, Allah is one. Okay? Allah tells us that He is one. What makes Allah one? What is different about Allah? That's the question I want to ask. What is different about Allah? It's a bit of a tough question in a way, isn't it? The girl said, because Allah can do anything He wants, He doesn't need help from anyone, and He's unique. What do you think? Zach, I haven't heard from you today. He doesn't need anyone's help. Okay. What are you saying, Mubin? No, Allah is not in Jannah. Allah is above. Allah is not inside of His creation. Does that make sense? You can't. Allah is not inside of something He made. Yeah, Allah is above Jannah, above it. Does that make complete sense to you? Yeah? Okay. Go on. Very good. Allah can see everything. Excellent. Excellent. The only one of Himself. Very good. All of you gave correct answers. No, I'm going to come back to you, inshallah, next time. All of you gave excellent and correct answers. Give me 2 minutes, I'll come back to you. All of you gave excellent answers. Allah doesn't need anyone else. Everyone needs Allah. And the name that tells us Allah doesn't need anyone, there's a couple of names we could talk about. We could talk about As-Samad and Al-Ghani. As-Samad, the one that He doesn't need anyone, and everyone needs Him. Everything needs Allah, but Allah doesn't need anything. Allah doesn't need the world. Allah doesn't need Jannah. Allah doesn't need angels. Allah doesn't need a throne. Allah doesn't need any single thing. Allah doesn't need any prophets. Allah doesn't need anything at all. And everything needs Allah. Those prophets, those angels, the heavens, the earth, they need Allah. Does that make sense? Okay. Allah is Al-Ghani. Allah is Al-Ghani. Al-Ghani, it means that he is the one who is free of need. He doesn't have any needs. Al-Ghani, he doesn't have anything that he needs. Allah doesn't need food. Allah doesn't need drink. Allah doesn't need sleep. Allah doesn't need any single thing. He doesn't need you to worship him. But I've got a question. If Allah doesn't need you to worship him, why do you pray? Allah doesn't need you to pray, so why do you pray? Go on. Very good, so Allah will reward you. I like that answer. See? Okay, that's the answer that the girls gave that I was looking for. We need to pray. So who needs us to pray? Us or Allah? Who needs us to pray? We need to pray. Us, we are the ones who need to pray. Allah doesn't need us to pray. But we need to pray. Yeah? Does that make sense? Okay. Allah is Al-Wahid, He is one. Many other religions, they believed in others besides Allah. They said that Allah is three, or they said that there are many idols, or they worship the sun and the moon. Who can tell me some of the things that people worshipped besides Allah? Go on. Sorry, tell me one more time. Yeah, something people worship. Yeah. What do they worship though? That's the thing. I'm not talking about the names of different religions. I want to know something that people worship instead of Allah. So the girls, you said statues. Some people worship statues. You saw that, yeah? People put like statues, little statues or big statues, and they pray to those statues. What else do people worship? Some people worship animals. Some people worship animals. They do. They worship animals. I saw one time people worshiping a cow. They put a necklace on the cow and they were giving the cow food and they were praying to the cow. The cow didn't understand anything they were saying. And it didn't answer any of their dua. Okay, what else do people worship? Zach, what do you think? The sun and the moon. Some people worship the sun and the moon. Yeah, some people worship the stars. Some people believe that the stars tell you what's going to happen in the future. Some people believe that the stars tell you what's going to happen in the future. So they worship those stars to give them a good future. But who knows the future? Only Allah. Because Allah is Al-Wahid Al-Ahad, the one who is completely alone and completely unique. There's nobody with him. Some people worship people, living or dead. Some people go to graves and they worship the people in the graves. Some people worship prophets, right? Yeah? Some people worship other prophets, like the Christians who worship Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam. All of this, it goes against what Allah said, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Allah is the only one that deserves to be worshipped. Allahu Samad, everything needs Allah. The sun needs Allah. The moon needs Allah. The animals need Allah. The prophets need Allah. We need Allah. So there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Allah. And Allah is Al-Wahid, Al-Ahad, As-Samad. The one who is by himself. He is only one. And everything needs him. And he doesn't need anything at all. Okay. I want to ask you about a name of Allah. I'm going to give you the name. I want you to tell me what it means. Does that make sense? I'm going to tell you the name. I want you to tell me what does that name mean. The name of Allah I'm going to ask you about is Al-Hadi, the one who guides. Tell me, what do you understand from that name? The one who guides, Al-Hadi. Who have we not heard from for a while? Go on. The one that you should worship. Of course, all of Allah's names means the one you should worship. But what does this name mean, Al-Hadi, the one who guides? So the girl said, the one who guides you to Islam. Right or wrong? Right, but it's only half the answer. There's another half of the answer. Boys, give me the other half of the answer. Guides you to the straight path. Excellent, you're completely right. But also, you only gave that same half as the girls. There's another half. What kind of guidance does Allah give you that is not guidance to Islam? I'm not talking about guidance to Islam. I'm talking about a different kind of guidance. This is the guidance that is mentioned in the surah, سَبِّحِسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. The one who decreed and guided. What are you saying, Noah? You've got an answer. Very true. That's absolutely true. Whoever Allah guides, nobody can misguide him. But that's still the same part that we talked about. The girl said, guide to Islam. Noah, you said, whoever Allah guides, no one can misguide him. That's completely true. And we said also something similar to that. Guides you to Iman, guides you to Islam. I want a totally different type of guidance. Go on, Zach. You're still thinking about Islam. I'm talking about utterly, completely unrelated to Islam. Nothing to do with Islam at all. What does Allah guide to? Girls, you're quiet. You got an answer? Yeah, that's the right answer. The girls got the right answer now. Let's see. What do you think? Right or wrong? That's a good answer. I like that. It's kind of what the boy said earlier about Islam, but you're right. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Allah guided you what is right and what is wrong. That's it. You're closer than the other ones were, but you're still 50-50. Yes, Habib. Yes, you can. Still, you're talking about the same thing. Islam guides you away from shaitan, guides you to goodness, guides you to what's right. But the girl's got it right. Guides you to what you need. How did you know that you need to drink water to stay alive? How did you know that this food is good for you and that food is not? For example, I give example. And if somebody put a plate of dishwasher tablets on top on your plate, would you take them and chomp on them? No, you'd say, straight away, that's not right for me. That's going to make me sick. And this is good, and this is not good. And how did a baby know to drink milk from its mother? From Allah. Allah is the one who guided you to everything you need. How did you know to breathe? How did you know how to be able to breathe? You breathe. How did you know how to breathe? How did your heart know how to be able to beat? Allah guided. So now I've got a question, which Noah might answer for me, because he's got his hand up before I ask the question. But he might answer me. Okay. My question is, this type of guidance, guiding you to what you need, guiding you to what to eat and how to live and how to breathe, is this guidance only for Muslims? Noah. It's for everyone, right? That guidance is for everybody. Allah guides to everybody to what they need. Allah guides the animals, what food to eat, what not to eat, how to live, what to do, how to run away from the For example, if you have a gazelle, how does the gazelle know to run away from the lion? Allah guided it. Yeah? How does the lion know to eat the gazelle? Allah guided it. Yeah? So Allah's guidance like that is for everybody. The first type of guidance you mentioned, Islam, who is that guidance for? It's only for Muslims, right? That guidance is not for anyone else. Allah chose you. So how do you feel when you know that Allah chose you? And how do you feel when you know that guidance only comes from Allah? How do you feel if you know that Allah chose you? Nuak, go on. You can, but only if you answer the question. How do you feel when you know that Allah guided you, Noah, to be a Muslim? How do you feel? Happy. Excellent. Now you can go, inshallah, and come back quickly. You feel happy. How do you feel, Zach? Amazed, grateful, special, yeah? So do you think that we have to thank Allah because Allah guided us, right? And we have to ask Allah for guidance. For example, let's just say you're in a tough situation. You don't know what to do. Shall I do this or shall I do that? And you don't know what's good for you. Who are you going to ask for guidance? You could ask your teacher. You could ask your mom and dad. But before all of that, you're going to ask Allah. How do you ask Allah for guidance? That's my question. How do you ask Allah for guidance? Dua. Okay. Girl said dua. Boys, what are you saying? Mashaykh, what are you saying? How do you ask Allah for guidance? Safa? Pray. Good. If I combine what you said and I combine what the girl said, what do I end up with? Salat al-istikhara. Asking Allah for guidance by praying. Right, I'm going to teach you guys because I really want you to learn Salat al-Istikhara. I'm going to teach you a small amount. I'm just going to teach you the idea. I'm not going to teach you the dua. Maybe when we do our du'as class, we can learn the dua. Okay? I'm just going to teach you the idea. The idea is whenever you have a choice in something and you don't know what to do, what you do is you make wudu. You pray 2 rak'at. Like you would pray when you come into the masjid. You pray 2 rak'at. You make wudu, you pray 2 rak'at. And at the end of those 2 rak'at, you make a dua to ask Allah what is good for you. And you ask Allah that if this thing is good for me, make it happen. And if that thing is good for me, make that happen. And if this thing is bad for me, don't make it happen. And keep me away from it and keep it away from me. Inshallah, in our du'as class, we're going to learn the whole du'a, inshallah. But for now, you understood? Pray. Afterwards, ask Allah, oh Allah, if this is good for me, make it happen. And if it's not good for me, keep me away from it and keep it away from me. Why do you think it's useful to ask Allah, or why is it good to ask Allah for guidance? Go on. Will Allah tell you, or Allah will actually make it happen? He'll make whatever's good happen for you. Okay. And He knows everything. Very good. And He can do everything. The girl said, He knows everything and He can do everything. And that's completely right. He knows everything, He can do everything, and He will guide you. And you don't know. Sometimes you think something is really good for you. You're like, right, you know what it is? I'm going to travel to see my relatives in a different city. And you decide to do that. And off you go with your relatives and you go to see them in a different city and there's a car crash. And you end up in hospital. You couldn't know that was going to happen, but Allah knows it was going to happen. So you ask Allah, is it good for me or is it not good for me? Especially when it's something very important in your life. You have to make a big decision. Shall I change my school? Go to a different school? ask Allah to guide you which one is best. Okay. When you get stuck, my next name of Allah that I want to talk to you about is, the next name of Allah that I want to talk to you about, when you get stuck, Yusuf, will you call the mu'adhin for that adhan, please? When you get stuck and you don't know what to do and you feel like there's no good option for you, you feel totally stuck, like I'm completely stuck, there's no way out. We need a name of Allah that will open for you a way out. Don't go there. What name is it? Quickly before the adhan, do you got any ideas? Quick ideas? A name of Allah that is the one who makes a way out for you from your problems. Do you have an idea? The name of Allah that means He opens up a way for you and makes a way for you out of every problem. Okay, we'll do the adhan and then inshallah the boys gonna and girls gonna think about it inshallah. Okay, did anyone get the name? The name that means that Allah opens up for you a way out when you're in difficulty, or that Allah makes things easy for whoever He wants. Zach, what do you think? The all-knowing. Good. I think that's a good try. Very good try. It's not the name I was thinking of, but it's a very good try. The all-knowing, Al-Alim, Mubin, Al-Khaliq, the creator. Oh, from Telegram, okay. Sorry, I was gonna shout at you and say no adults are allowed to answer, but then I realized you're answering from Telegram. Al-Fattah is the name we're talking about. Al-Fattah. Al-Fattah. Allah says, ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده وهو العزيز الحكيم. When Allah opens up a mercy for people, nobody can hold it back. Could you imagine being in a situation where you feel like there's no way out? Like you're stuck. Do you think that happens to some people in their life that just feel like completely stuck and there's no way out of a problem? Totally, I don't have any way out. But if Allah makes you a way out, there is nobody can hold it back. And if Allah stops you, there is nobody that can make you a way if Allah stops you from it. So how do you feel when you hear about that name? You feel like you're never going to feel stuck, right? Because even in the worst situation, Allah will open up for you a way out of your difficulty if you ask Him. Very good. Very good. I want to talk about three names now, very quickly. I want to talk about As-Sami' Al-Basir Al-Alim. As-Sami' it means that Allah hears everything. Maybe. I'm not sure. Maybe it was in the dua for Allah. Possibly. But these three names, As-Sami' Al-Basir Al-Alim. Allah hears everything. Allah hears everything. What's the difference, or what are some of the differences if you think about how we hear and you think about Allah's hearing? For example, let me give you one. We can only hear a little bit. Right? If I go and whisper behind that door, you won't be able to hear me. Agreed? So Allah hears everything. Allah hears everything. Even the tiniest whisper, Allah hears it. What else can you tell me? Okay, in a way that is befitting to Him. But what about, for example, all the different languages? Can you guys understand every different language? But Allah, every single language, even the sound of the animals, even the sound of the everything in the universe, Allah can understand it and Allah can hear it. What about different sounds at the same time? Let's just say if all of you guys in front of me, you all started asking me questions at the same time, would I be able to hear all of them? No, I was going to get confused. You all start asking me, and you start asking me in Kurdish, and you start asking me in English, and you start asking me in Arabic, and someone else start asking me in French, and you all ask me all at the same time, I'm going to be so confused. I can't even understand what you're saying. But Allah, imagine how many people ask Allah at the same time. In the world right now, how many people you think might be making dua to Allah? You can't put a number. Maybe 100 million, maybe a billion people, all of them asking Allah at the same time. All of them asking Allah at the exact same time, in different languages, in different, some of them are whispering really quiet. Some of them are shouting out loud. And Allah hears every single one of them, and He doesn't mix up in what those people are asking. What about Allah's name, Al-Basir, the one who sees everything? How far can you see? Maybe you can see to the end of the room. Maybe you can see to the end of the room. Maybe if you go outside, you can see to the end of the street. But Allah sees everything. And Allah sees everything at the same time. And Allah sees even what is hidden from sight. For example, the blood that goes through your veins, the beating of your heart, Allah hears it, Allah sees it, Allah knows it, even though you can't see it and you can't hear it. Even what you whisper in your heart, Allah knows it. Nothing is hidden from Allah. Allah knows everything that has ever happened, and Allah knows everything that will happen. And Allah knows everything that's happening in this world right now. I'm not talking about big things. I'm not talking about like huge things. I'm talking about every little tiny thing, every leaf that falls, every tiny pebble, every tiny ant or tiny fly. Where is it and where is it going and where has it been? Allah knows it. Now I've got a question for you. How does that make you feel? That's my question. How does that make you feel and behave? How does it make you behave? So the girl said, it makes you be careful. I like that word. It makes you behave more carefully. Because you know that you can't, everything you do, Allah sees it. Everything you do, Allah hears it. Everything you do, Allah knows it. So you can't escape. There's nowhere you can hide. You know, if you want to do something and you don't want someone to see, you can go into a tiny little space, maybe behind this bookcase, you can squeeze inside and hide underneath. And you can whisper so nobody else can hear you. But still Allah will see you. And still Allah will hear you. And still Allah will know what you're doing. So you can never ever do something that Allah doesn't know, or Allah doesn't see, or Allah doesn't hear. So one thing I think this is really important is, when we talk about sometimes us, yani you guys, sometimes you try to do something, you misbehave when your mom and dad are not looking. Yeah, anyone ever do that before? When mom and dad are not, you don't have to put your hand up. All of you can put your hand up if you did. That you try and misbehave when mom and dad are not looking. Or when your teacher's not looking, you think that I don't see that you're poking him and he's whispering to you and you think that I don't see it. And maybe I don't see it, but Allah sees it. And maybe I don't hear it, but Allah hears it. Maybe somebody says something nasty about someone behind their back. They say, oh look, they didn't hear it. Who cares? They didn't hear. But Allah heard it. So it should change the way that you behave, because you're thinking about that Allah hears everything and Allah knows everything and Allah sees everything. I've now got a name that I want to ask you about, and this is a tough one. I'm going to ask you about the name and you tell me what does it mean. I'm going to help you out a little bit. The name I'm going to ask you about is Al-Latif. The name I'm going to ask you about is Al-Latif. And this name means the one who is the most subtle. Do you guys know what the word subtle means? Do you know what that word means? You know what it means, or you're going to ask me something else? Ah, okay. I knew, because you put your hand up before I asked the question. And now you're still going to put your hand up again. MashaAllah. Give me a minute. Let's try to answer the question first. Do you know what this word means, subtle? No, not quite. Good try, though. The girl's got it right. Mobin, what do you think? Calm, yeah, maybe a little bit. Go on, try. Careful, that's not bad. That's quite good. Yes, you can. You can always, if you answer a question, you can answer. That's good. The girls answered it very well. What did you say, girls? Remind me one more time. Not obvious. So how is it that we say about Allah, Allah is Al-Latif, the most subtle? What does it mean, not obvious? Like how? Yes, Allah is not seen, but that's not what it means. Very good. The girls give a nice example. If you ask Allah for money, how many times do you ever see gold bars raining down from the sky? Never. But wouldn't that be the easiest way to give you money? just money just comes down from the sky, like, oh Allah, help me, I'm in debt. Oh Allah, help me, I need money. And then you go outside and it just starts raining 50 pound notes. Why are you guys laughing? You didn't see it before? Raining 50 pound notes? It didn't happen? That's because Allah gives you, but He doesn't give you in a way that is obvious. What happens? Some extra money came to you. You got a gift from somebody. You didn't realize that you had something valuable in your house and you sold it. You got extra money from your job. Yeah? Even now, I can't even describe. What I'm describing is not good description. How Allah gives you, He gives you in the most hidden way. Allah gives you in ways that are very hidden and not obvious. Can you give me a different example apart from money, a different example about how Allah gives you something in a way that isn't obvious, or how Allah does something in a way that isn't obvious? Think about stories of the prophets. Help? Yeah, help in a way that isn't obvious. Okay, give me a story of the prophets. Which prophet's story? What do you think? Which prophet, their story, they get help in ways that are really subtle, really hidden. Which prophet? Yusuf. Prophet Yusuf. Prophet Yusuf was thrown by his brothers into the well, right? His brothers threw him to the bottom of the well. Did Allah send an angel to come and take him out of the well? Could Allah have sent an angel? Yeah. Why did Jibreel not come and just take him out of the well like that? Instead, a caravan came and they put their bucket down and he climbed on the bucket and they lifted him up. It's not obvious. It's a hidden blessing. It's like so many things happened. Then what happened? It could be that the caravan, they took him up, they gave him back to his father, but they didn't. What happened? They took him and they sold him. Yeah? They took him to Egypt and they sold him as a slave. The person who bought him as a slave was a minister from the ministers of Egypt. He could have helped him, but he didn't. He ended up putting him in prison. Did we have one from Telegram? The story of Musa. In the story of Musa, what happens? Musa's mom is scared about Fir'aun. So she puts him in a basket and she puts him in the river. Who takes him out of the river? Fir'aun. Look at how the story is so... And Fir'aun, instead of killing him, looks after him until he grows up to be a young man. And then in the end, Musa comes back and destroys Fir'aun and his people who disbelieved. Do you see how everything is so subtle? It's not obvious. It's not just like that. What is the benefit of that then? Why is that a good thing? What does it show? A test, okay. A test. Yeah, it could be a test of your faith. Do you have iman? They said that from Yusuf leaving his father to coming back to his father at the end of the story was 40 years. 40 years. And Allah was taking him from one place to another, one place to another, one place to another, one step to another, one part of the story to another part of the story, until everything he wanted happened at the end. What does it show you? It shows you Allah's power, right? For us, we are not like that. If something goes wrong, we try to fix it by the most obvious thing that we know. Like my microphone went off, I started unplugging it, plugging it back in, plug it in somewhere else, unplug it somewhere else, plug it back in somewhere else, take it somewhere else, plug it in, take it out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you things in a way you don't even imagine. And it shows you never to despair, never to feel sad. Because sometimes you get sad. Why? Why does everyone get sad? They get sad because the thing they wanted from Allah, they wanted it now in front of their face. Allah, give me wealth. No 50 pound notes. That's when people get sad, right? People get sad because they make dua to Allah, they want it to come now. But if they remember this name of Allah, that Allah is Al-Latif, maybe Allah answered their dua in a totally different way, in a hidden way. And their dua got answered, and everything they want is going to come to them, but it's going to come to them in a different way. So you never feel sad that Allah didn't answer your dua. Remember Yusuf. Allah answered his dua, but it was step and another step and another step and another one. Each time was increasing his reward and increasing his knowledge and increasing his status in the sight of Allah and increasing in his place in Jannah until Allah gave him everything that he wanted. Allah is Al-Latif. And part of that name means Allah knows every little tiny thing. That's part of Allah's name, Al-Latif and Al-Khabir. Allah knows every tiny, tiny thing. And nothing escapes Allah. Allah knows every tiny thing. Very good. We're going to have at least another lesson on Allah's names next week. After that, we're going to probably change to a different topic because we don't do the same topic every single week. We do for a while, we learn some names, we learn some meanings, and then inshallah we are gonna go to a different topic inshallah. So that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla made easy for me to mention today. We're gonna pause there because it's time for Salah, you stop. Next week, guys, if I can just remind you, the start time is 5 o'clock, okay? So try to come early, because sometimes we see at 5 o'clock there's only two people, and sometimes some people come at 10 to six. So try to come early if you can, inshallah. Girls, did you have any questions before we finish? Yes. What does the name Allah mean? One of the girls asked. What does the name Allah mean? So the best explanation of the name Allah is the explanation of Abdullah ibn Abbas. He said, "Dhul uluhiyyah." وَالْعُبُودِيَّ عَلَى خَلْقِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ He said, he is the one that deserves to be worshipped, and he is the one that has all of the names and attributes of perfection over all of his creation. So he is the one who has every single attribute of being God and every single name which is perfect, and everything that he does is perfect, and he is the one that everyone should worship. That's the best meaning that I can give you. Yes, Noah, you had a question. Did we finish off? You didn't have one? No problem, inshallah. Okay, so shall we finish the class and then tell me? What do you think? Did you have a question?
Yeah. In Jannah, do you have to pray?
In Jannah, do you have to pray? Wallah, it's a very good question. Not like here, not like you pray in this world. No. Because this world, you pray as a test, right? In Jannah, you worship Allah as a pleasure, like just enjoyment, like just what you enjoy. Like, it's not hardship, like, or a difficulty. It's just what you enjoy, and you praise Allah for what Allah gave you. No, it's not that, not like optional, but it's different. If that makes sense. That's what Allah made easy for us to mention. Allah knows best. Wassalatu wassalam ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.